Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The house rules, the most pertinent one for your Sunday night football listening pleasure, is that there are no games that ever come down to one play, one snap, one moment, whether it's positive or negative, one call, one missed call, one drive. Nah, that's not how it works. It's a culmination. And it's a good thing, too, because the Buffalo Bills continue to start slow. So if they start slow and don't have the second half, well, then they are sunk. But instead, they appear to be a team who finds its rhythm and then goes 150 miles per hour, all gas, no brakes. And there are other teams that are riding nice little win streaks right now here in the middle of the season. The Bills have four in a row. The Steelers, three in a row. And thinking about Pittsburgh and the fact that we've got a different division than what a lot of us expected in the AFC North, I think. Pittsburgh is off this weekend, able to take that bye after moving to the top of the North. And we're going to talk about the Ravens here coming up as well, because the AFC North had a good day. I would call it a good day, except for Cleveland. But you add the Steelers sitting and resting on their laurels, resting being the key, at the three straight wins. The Ravens trying to match at least the win total there. Baltimore hasn't had its bye yet. The Bengals, we just talked about, now winners of 3-4. The Browns, they're a mess, though they did get the inspired win last weekend. And I believe a lot of that had to do with Jim Donovan and also Jameis Winston being inspired, getting his first start in 2 years, but thudding back to earth on Sunday. The Houston Texans, this team lost to the Jets on Thursday, but still has the lead because the Texans are the only team in the AFC South with a winning record. We're going to talk about the Jaguars here momentarily. You got to wonder when the other shoe's going to drop there, even though Shad Khan talked about Doug Peterson and believing that they could turn things around, but it's not going the right direction. And then we'll get the Chiefs, only team in the NFL that's unbeaten. They will host the Buccaneers coming up on Monday night. So that will cap week 9, and that will give us a clearer picture of the top teams in the AFC, though it's been a lot of fun to see some divisions rise up, like the West, where you've got both the Chargers and the Broncos now, who are above 500. Again, we'll talk about that Broncos-Ravens game here momentarily. Our Monday MVP poll is available for you. At Amy After Hours, I retweeted, or I will retweet, I guess I haven't yet. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to. We're also asking, as you weigh in with your Monday MVP votes, how about go ahead and tell us what you would call the Saquon Barkley move that has gone viral? It's gone viral, I'm telling you. It's incredible. If you haven't seen it, it's on my Twix. It's just a phenomenal move that a lot of guys are saying they've never seen in the NFL before, despite the fact that they've watched a lot of games and a lot of snaps and a lot of great athletes. Saquon is, in fact, part of our Monday MVP poll. Why? Because he was crushing it for the Eagles against the Jaguars Sunday.
Hurts in the gun. He backpedals. He's looking. Still looking. He fires it out in the flat to Barkley, who beats one man, spins past another, leaps over a third, and jumps down at the 30.
What was that? I've never seen that move, and I've been watching football all my life.
See?
Well, he did that.
Listen, he did that
to show off to Shady McCoy.
He's never done this. No one's ever done this. He hurdles a guy backwards. How do you jump over a guy backwards?
So Saquon jumps up and over a defender backwards. It'd be really impressive, I suppose, if you watched it in the gym and a dude jumps up and backwards, maybe onto a platform. You see those sometimes. And he was doing a deep lunge on the sidelines as well, just trying to work those muscles. But to go up and over a moving defender, so essentially a moving target as you jump, that's something that's pretty incredible. So, yeah, the Eagles get another phenomenal performance from one Saquon Barkley against the Jaguars. And Philadelphia races out to a 22-0 lead. So, again, you haven't seen it. It's on my Twix at A-Law Radio. We're asking you, what do you name that thing? That backward leapfrog over the top of a defender's helmet. So Saquon was all over the place. After a Trevor Lawrence interception, then he has a 19-yard touchdown scamper, and it's early in the third quarter where it almost feels like the Eagles are about to throw up the exclamation point.
Hurts in an empty backfield. First and 10 at the 18. Hurts with motion by Gainwell. Hurts this time, fakes it, keeps it. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. Touchdown! Leaping Jalen Hurts.
What's everybody leaping? Everybody's leaping.
Leaping Jalen Hurts.
Not quite the same as Saquon. It wasn't backwards, but Jalen did leap into the end zone with an 18-yard touchdown run. So, yeah, that put the Eagles up by 22. But the Jaguars, as is typically the case, they can fill up a stat sheet. We'll see Trevor Lawrence fire off a couple of incredible throws. He'll grip and rip. But the problem is they can't do it when they're still hanging in these games. So they put up 23 points in the second half. But Philadelphia has already started with a full head of steam, and they use a 5-minute drive to maintain the lead. This is definitely a candidate for TD of the week, even though it didn't have the backward leapfrog, Barkley bouncing up and over. How about bouncing Barkley up? I just saw that on SportsCenter. That's kind of cute, but I don't think it speaks to the degree of difficulty for this, Pete.
I have one.
You have one. All right, let's hear it.
The butt jump.
The butt jump. The butt bound.
The butt bounce.
The butt bounce. I like that. The backward butt bounce.
There we go.
All right. We've named it. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, make sure you go check it out. We've got it. The backward butt bounce.
I'm taking the trademark. We'll share it.
All right. Okay. So after the backward butt bounce and into the second half, again, Jacksonville is able to put up 23 points on the board. But the 1 5-minute drive in the second half, it produces another moment that'll make your jaw drop.
Three receivers to the far side, two to the near side. Hurts in an empty backfield. Cacavera in motion. Cacatera moves to his right. Here goes Hurts, going for the end zone. Devontae Smith, he caught it one-handed.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if
what
he stayed. He's in!
Smitty.
He's in!
Oh, my
one
goodness.
One hand! I don't know how he did it.
Man, quite a game for Merrill Reese and Mike Quick on Eagles Radio. So, yeah, I thought this one put the game away, essentially, for the Eagles. But it did not, as much as Devontae Smith was dynamic as he's falling down in the corner of the end zone, back corner of the end zone. He's able to get both toes in. It was impressive. So that was a 28-16 lead for the Eagles. But Jacksonville is able to rally. So Trevor Lawrence with a pair of touchdown runs, but also is zipping the ball around accurately. Don't ask me why they can't put together a full half in any case, it seems like. And so then the Jaguars pull within five, and they're actually driving the field again, potentially for the go-ahead score.
Jacksonville trails by five. They're driving. And the gun. Lawrence. Lawrence back. Lawrence looks. Firing for the end zone. Intercepted! Intercepted the Kobe Dean! He picks it off of the end zone. No floods! The Eagles are going to escape!
They're doing a nice job of mixing it up on defense, but, you know, kind of started to get some more man towards the end there. We hit some big plays, just the one we hit a tram, took advantage of that and got down there. And then, you know, we kind of, it was a playoff of what we did earlier. We did some stuff with the running back and some option routes, and we tried to go over the top. And just got to give credit to the linebacker. Did a great job. N'Kobe did a great job making that play. And it's just tough when it finishes that way. You know, when I threw it, I thought we'd have a shot, and left it a touch inside, and he got his eyes back. You know, a lot of times those linebackers don't get their eyes back and play the ball, and I thought we'd be able to go up and get it, and he did a great job, made a great play.
He definitely did. N'Kobe Dean with his first career interception in the end zone. As you can imagine, the Eagles sideline went wild. A lot to celebrate, even as Trevor Lawrence breaks down what he saw on that final drive. And yeah, they just keep playing from behind every week. They put themselves in these big holes. How do you then climb out of them?
We didn't do anything in the first half, and, you know, it was just for one reason or another. There was a couple factors, but we got to improve there. I mean, it's just hard. I mean, obviously we gave ourselves a chance to come back and win the game, but, you know, we had to have a lot of plays go our way, and we had to make a lot of plays and put ourselves in a tough spot. And it, you know, we shouldn't have to do that every week. So, you know, we got to look at it and how do we start better? How do we just move the ball, get in a rhythm? It seemed like we were just really stagnant at first and couldn't, you know, possess the ball, and our defense was on the field a lot. So we got to get better at that.
Yeah, it's tough. You can know what to do, and yet they consistently put themselves in that same position where they have no margin for error, and we know this Jaguars team is not perfect. As for Jalen Hurts, nearly 300 total yards and three touchdowns.
I think it was a great effort and end of the game. You know, I think it came down to that. I have to watch the film to really assess it. I think situationally we could have been better. Yeah, I think we could have executed better in some situations, handled some situations a little better. My perspective, it's, you know, you're kind of gearing and you're trying to be prepared. You're playing the next play, and you want to be ready for the guys out there. And it was a tough one. We had to dig deep, different challenges that we had to face. But I'm just proud of, proud that we found a way in the end. I can't say it was a complete complimentary, a game full of complimentary football, but we found a way to win.
Just happy with the way the guys played. I thought we played with great fundamentals today. I'll be interested to see what our tackling numbers are coming out of today. But I thought we tackled. I thought Zach Bond tackled his butt off. I thought Reed had some good tackles. Coop. So I look at that. I thought we caught the ball well. I mean, there were some unbelievable catches both offensively and defensively.
So with Nick Sirianni and the Eagles seemingly finding their identity again, remember last year they had changed both coordinators. That was following the Super Bowl appearance, not the win, but the Super Bowl appearance against the Chiefs. And they changed both coordinators, and it was not a good fit. So they changed both coordinators again. And now they appear as though they have found their identity. That was a big thing for them to start the season. Who are we? What's our identity? So if you're checking out the NFC East, well, it's two really good teams at the top of the division. The Eagles are now 6-2, having racked up four consecutive wins. Not always pretty, not always perfect, but their run game is starting to dominate a little more. And they just are who they are. And Saquon Barkley has been a tremendous addition. But what about the Commanders at the top of that division? We will talk about them following the break. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, Commanders at Giants, so a game inside the NFC East. If you haven't yet voted for Monday MVP, I know many of you haven't. The poll is just up. It's recently released at Amy After Hours. I'll put it on our Facebook page as we get to this next break. But our friend Chicago Johnny is waiting in Las Vegas. I'm so glad to hear from you. I feel like it's been forever.
Amy.
Because you're a movie star.
I've been trying to reach you for a month and a half and just couldn't get through.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Well, I'm glad that you're alive and well, and as I say, probably a movie star now.
Well, I did my they flew me to a Universal in Hollywood, and I did my audition. I passed the audition. And they're going to come back here in December, and we're going to start filming my part in December.
Oh, I can't wait to see this. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. And they even gave me some lines, and they're using my name. They're using Chicago Johnny, and they're going to call me CJ.
Okay, so no last name, still just Chicago Johnny.
Just Chicago Johnny. Okay. That's what they're going to call me.
All right. So, what about your Bears?
Amy, we're in trouble. I mean, first of all, they had the easiest schedule their first nine games, and they're already 4-4. So they're in trouble. Well, like you said, we have not played anybody in our division. So they cannot beat Green Bay. They cannot beat Detroit. They cannot beat Minnesota. So, and did you know that under Eberflus, that the Bears are 3-18 on the road.
Well,
can you believe
that's pre? I mean, I get that that includes a few of the games early with Caleb Williams, but they're still in a process where they're adjusting to a new QB. And they brought in new weapons, so I feel like it's unfair to kind of include the games before they got Caleb Williams because they're kind of starting fresh. I mean, some people might tell you that Justin Fields and Caleb Williams are similar, but it's just a completely different look, and he's a rookie. So I wouldn't drag the old numbers forward.
No, Amy, the coach has got to go. He's not a good coach. And the offensive coordinator, he's just as bad. So they both have got to go. I mean, they're terrible. The fans want his head. They do not want him here next year. And the GM better not keep him. He's no good. He's just no good. And he's proven it. But here's the thing. He doesn't take responsibility for the place that he puts in. He does not take any responsibility. And the whole fans know that. And we're not happy. We're not happy with that.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. But they're still right there in it at 4-4. Though, as you point out, they definitely have the toughest part of their schedule to come.
Yeah. But I will keep you informed in what happens with the movie. And I'll stay in touch.
All right. Looking forward to it. Good to hear from you, Chicago Johnny, our friend in Las Vegas, who is a Chicago dude, thus his concern for the Bears. All right. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me online. Bears, by the way, play the Cardinals, who are now first place in the NFC West, which is odd. Right? I'm telling you, there's still plenty of opportunities in the NFC, which is where the Bears reside. It's just that their division happens to be the toughest. Let's get to Commanders and Giants coming up next. We still have to talk about the Saints and the Panthers, only because the New Orleans Saints are tanking now, not on purpose, with seven consecutive losses, and Derek Carr and Dennis Allen and the whole shebang, they're all under fire. We need your votes for Monday MVP at A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, and soon on our FB page. FB, it could be football, our football Facebook page, or just our football page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Second and goal at the one. Pistol look. Eckler behind Daniels. Two wide receivers to the left. Here's the snap. He's going to throw for it. A slot in the middle. Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Terry McLaurin, a one-yard touchdown catch. First and 10 at the 18. Three wide receivers to the left. Empty backfield. Jade loads one up towards the end zone. Towards McLaurin. He catches it! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Perfect!
perfect throw from Daniels to McLaurin.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Commanders were a bit stymied until a Daniel Jones fumble. It was on review, initially called an incomplete pass, then changed to a fumble on a sack. It sparks Washington in this division rival, in this division rivalry in the NFC East. Three straight scoring drives right after that Jones fumble. The first Terry McLaurin touchdown comes right after the turnover. The second one caps an 87-yard drive right before halftime when he gets behind the defense for the 18-yard score. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can understand Bram Weinstein and the Commanders Radio Network this week. Not so on the Hail Mary a weekend ago when it was just a lot of yelling and screaming and something about a walk-off grand slam. Yes. Yes, Freddie Freeman. So this Giants team was game, and I appreciate that the New York fans finally got to see a touchdown pass from Daniel Jones to Chris Manhertz. It had been nearly 2 years, not quite, but nearly 2 years. Remember, he had a torn ACL, but it's the capper for a nearly 10-minute possession over 16 plays. So deliberate, if you will, methodical. Well, a lot of one step forward, two steps back. But the Commanders had this game well in hand, up two touchdowns at the break. New York does score on all three drives in the second half, but that should tell you something. These are long possessions. They're extended drives, mostly because are not a lot of explosive plays for the Giants. They do pull within five in the final 3 minutes, and Daniel's able to get to Theo Johnson and actually had a really good game. So I don't want to disparage Jones because he ends up 20 of 26, 174 passing, 54 yards rushing, three total touchdowns. And this is what fans have been so angry about. It's just they don't have a lot more, and that's not consistent from Daniel Jones, right? So I'm glad that the Giants were able to push back, but they really don't have any margin for error, especially not a team as good as the Commanders, and that early mistake sets the Commanders off on a big run, and that ultimately is what gives them the leg up. Now, Washington also has the ability to run out the clock, which is huge. They get all the way to the goal line and then kneel down to run out the time. A disciplined team can do that, right? Why go for the extra points? You don't need it. You're going to win. Instead, we're chasing wins, not points, not stats, not fantasy football numbers. So Jaden has 209 yards and a couple of touchdowns, both of those to Terry McLaurin. And yeah, what a weapon. And I've often said about Scary Terry that he must be so thrilled after the revolving door of quarterbacks that he's seen in DC, not to mention coaches and coordinators. Jaden Daniels is finally on the scene.
He absolutely delivers. He strains to fight for it. I love the connection with Jaden, but I feel his energy. I feel his presence in the game, whatever it takes to go. But a number of different people stepped up today. But Terry's a pro's pro. And, man, are we fortunate we got him. He's been so much fun to coach.
Yeah, he's one of those holdovers, one of those guys that's been there for a long time. It reminds me a little bit of the Mike Evans situation in Tampa Bay, where he's been there his entire career, and he's seen a bunch of different QBs. Finally gets to Tom Brady, now has Baker Mayfield. We'll see. I know Mike is hurt right now, but we'll see whether or not the Buccaneers can rally and can figure out a way to insert themselves back into the NFC South conversation. But this is what's happening with the Commanders. You've got a new regime, a new...
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
culture, a new attitude, a new identity, a new quarterback, a new hope. But Terry is a guy who's been through it all there. And so for him to be able to enjoy it, I think is huge. It's a reward for years of hard work and toiling away without a whole lot of attention and certainly without a whole lot of winning. Commanders fans, how about this? Washington is 7-2 for the first time since 1996. Hey, my nieces tell me all the time, the 90s are back, baby. I love it. For the first time since 1996, Washington starts out 7-2, able to rush for nearly 150 yards, even without Brian Robinson. And I know Jaden Daniels is respectful of the past, but also wants to keep looking forward.
Got to live in the moment. Hey, you know, this could be all good. You know, we got a game next week, but I mean, I'm just happy for the fan base that they could be something proud of in the product that we're putting out on the field.
How about that? I'm happy for the fan base. This is a rookie quarterback and yet, again, understands what's happened there in Washington. Gosh, going back to the days of Joe Gibbs and the Super Bowl wins, but it's a completely different team and they've gone through so many changes. And you know, in sports, constant change equals constant losing. So here are the Commanders that have a reason to smile and be excited, and that emanates with the fan base as well. And yeah, they're now 2-0 in the division, which is also a big deal for Washington, and really any division that's got some long standing deep-seated rivalries.
You want to win your division, you got to win those games. So division opponents kind of mean more than, you know, just somebody that's not in our division. So that's something that we set out to go do. And, you know, we're 2-0. We got a couple more to go.
Commanders fans, I know you are loud and proud right now. I hear from so many of you on social at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, and I'm happy for you too. And I think it's kind of fun to think about the fresh blood. We're only halfway through. In fact, not until we get to Monday Night Football are we actually officially halfway through, even for those teams that have already had a bye. We've played the 9 weeks. And so there's a long way to go. And right now, Washington and Philadelphia are both hot. Commanders have won 3 straight, Philadelphia 4 in a row. I know the Cowboys, we're going to talk about them following the update against the Atlanta Falcons, another team that's got some fresh hope. Now, Philadelphia, okay, you could say they were there 2 years ago. But again, think about what they've gone through, what they went through last year when they fell off a cliff at the end of the season. And they really had no idea who they were following their Super Bowl run. So the Commanders are new. The Lions, I know they nearly got to the Super Bowl last year, but they're one of those teams that's been a lovable loser forever. And I hear from fans all the time, if it's not my team, I want it to be the Lions. They're a sentimental favorite. And if they get within shouting distance of the Super Bowl again, they're going to have a ton of people on their bandwagon, like the Cubs, going back to the 2016 World Series when their drought extended more than 100 years. You've got the Falcons, who are 6-3. This is the best they've looked since the year they went to the Super Bowl. I'm sorry, it totally is. And I know they started slow, and there were some warts initially. There's a lot made of Raheem Morris calling out his quarterback, Kirk Cousins, early on. But I still think it's fair to note that Kirk was changing systems too and coming off an Achilles injury. So they initially drop 2 of their first 3 games, by the way, to the Steelers and the Chiefs, who are both division leaders. But now they've rattled off 5 wins in their last 6 games. And so we've got the Atlanta Falcons entering the chat. And the Cardinals. When was the last time they were a winning team? I mean, Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, that relationship went wrong. He got injured again. Kyler did. And it precipitated a bunch of change. Cliff wanted nothing to do with football the year after he got fired by the Cardinals. He went away overseas somewhere with his girlfriend and wouldn't even return people's calls. But now he's the OC in Washington, which is a neat piece of that story. And the Cardinals themselves have found new life, right? So you're talking about different teams, new teams, teams that were maybe unexpected, but that's the fun of it. Roughly half the NFL playoff field turns over every year. I just got this tweet from Chet. As a long-suffering Browns fan, I'm really happy and pulling for the Lions. For years, both teams were horrible. I'm pulling for them because of that. See what I mean? Like, this is fun. It's fun to see new teams, new names, different jerseys. And the NFL is so good for that because it's uber competitive and there really isn't a whole lot of margin for error. Just like there wasn't much margin for error when Saquon Barkley leapt backward over the top of a defender, he could have, you know, just to be honest, he could have ended up with a helmet below the belt. I mean, that would have been tough. If he had not jumped as high as he did, that helmet could have clocked him in the little Eagles, if you know what I'm saying. Now, producer Pete and I have kind of come up with a bit of a alliteration for that moment, but we're taking your potential titles for Barkley's backward leap over a defender. We're going with what, producer Pete?
I think it was like backward butt bounce or butt bounce.
Barkley's backward butt bounce.
We had another B, I think.
Barkley's backward butt on the bounce. Yeah, if you haven't seen the video, it's amazing. I know you don't watch every play. That's kind of what we're for. But at A-Law Radio, and also vote for the After Hours Monday MVP. I'll get that poll up on our Facebook page very soon. Got to go record my sports minute, and then we're going to talk about Falcons and Cowboys. Because as I say, in the NFC East, you've got a new sheriff in town. Washington 7-2, Philadelphia 6-2. The Giants share the worst record in the NFL. A bunch of teams are 2-7, which is weird. And the Cowboys, they're in no man's land. In fact, the Cowboys are about to be irrelevant, which is far worse than being really good or really bad in the NFL. We'll get to that coming up. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Let's begin with Sunday Night Football in Minnesota.
Second and 11 from the Colts 14. Jones the single set. Addison in motion to the right. Play action from under center. Darnold to the end zone. Touchdown! Josh Oliver with a touchdown to stretch the lead to 2010.
Paul Allen on Vikings Radio, and the Vikings are now 6-2. After they knock off the Colts 21-13, Sam Darnold, 290 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 picks. Elsewhere in the NFL, in overtime, the Rams over the Seahawks 26-20. It was the Lions beating the Packers 24-14. In overtime, Titans 20, Patriots 17. Cardinals over the Bears 29-9. Eagles beat the Jaguars 28-23. Saquon Barkley rushed for 159 yards and a touchdown. It was the Commanders over the Giants 27-22, Chargers 27, Browns 10, Joe Burrow 5 touchdown passes, Bengals over the Raiders 41-24, Ravens 41, Broncos 10, the Bills beat the Dolphins 30-27, Tyler Bass 61-yard field goal with 5 seconds to go. The Panthers beat the Saints 23-22, the Falcons over the Cowboys 27-21. NBA Mavericks 108, Magic 85, the Hawks over the Pelicans 126-111, and the Pistons beat the Nets 106-92. NHL, the Oilers double up the Flames 4-2. The Bruins blank the Kraken 2-0. Jets 7, Lightning 4. Blackhawks over the Ducks 4-2. In overtime, Wild 2, Leafs 1. Hurricanes 4, Capitals 2. The Rangers beat the Islanders 5-2. NASCAR, Ryan Blaney wins at Martinsville. Chase Elliott came in second, and Kyle Larson finished third. I'm Peter Schwartz.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet. That's INF Sportsnet for our Facebook page. This is the Infinity Sports Network.
Atlanta's got in their bag here on first and goal at the Cowboy 9. How about Tyler Algier wide left with Drake London? Pitts, Mooney, and McLeod here to the right. Robinson's come out of the game. Here's Cousins, looks, lobbing, end zone, caught, touchdown, Drake London. Atlanta 1-for-5 on third down. They're going for it on 4th and 2.
All up here.
Yep, empty set for Cousins. Cowboys showing pressure. Snap to Kirk, here they come. Got to get rid of it. Lob for Mooney, caught, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Atlanta. 4th and 1 is the home run ball for Darnell Mooney.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Cowboys on the road at the Falcons, leaders of the NFC South, and a pair of Kirk Cousins touchdown passes in the first half put them in front, including a Darnell Mooney 36-yard catch on fourth down. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, West Durham on the Falcons radio network. They do lose Drake London after his touchdown. He leaves with a hip injury. And before half, the Dallas Cowboys push back just a little bit. It's a 70-yard drive, and it's capped by what is a really impressive, disciplined, focused moment for Rico Dowdle. But here's the thing. It's likely not to be a TD of the week candidate because we don't generally pick losers.
Second and goal at the 3. Prescott moves under center to change the play. Now backs up into the gun. Two receivers each way. Snap back on second and goal. Good block from Guyton. And Prescott has to avoid pressure. Runs into his blocker. Runs at the 10. Flips it in the end zone. And Dowdle hung on despite contact. Touchdown, Cowboys.
That's the highlight for the Cowboys on their radio network with Brad Sham. It really is. May have felt like it was an injection of some life, maybe some energy. I actually tweeted, I wonder if that's the spark, though. I was being a little bit tongue-in-cheek. But yeah, Dowdle is able to catch that ball even as he's laying on his back in the end zone, and the ball nearly gets touched by, or well, it gets touched. It nearly gets caught and picked off by a defender who's standing over the top of him. But he's able to catch the ball as it kind of falls down to the ground and to where he is. But Dallas starts the second half with a failed fake punt. And if you have not seen the video, it's a short clip, probably a GIF now. It's gone viral. Mike McCarthy throwing down his tablet and just really frustrated. And so it's a short field for Atlanta. And Cousins turns around and finds Ray McCloud for a 21-10 lead. And then on the next Dallas possession, it's going from bad to worse. There's a flag on fourth down. And so they're unable to take advantage of that opportunity. And by the end of the third, they're also without their quarterback. Dak Prescott injures his hamstring on a throwing attempt, or I guess it becomes aggravated and becomes worse on this throwing attempt late in the third quarter. And he's replaced by Cooper Rush.
Felt it. I guess the third play that I was in there on the little scramble to the left. Felt it. Didn't think much of it, to be honest with you. And then the next play, throwing that, the stop route to the field, pulled something. I guess you felt something I've never felt. Tough to walk on it at that point.
Of course, he wanted to be out there, and I understand that. It's frustrating, but if you can't move and you can't even throw, push off that hammy while you're in dire straits. So Cooper Rush comes in. He does manage a touchdown pass to Jalen Tolbert and racks up over 100 yards. But at this point, the Falcons were gone. Now, here's something that you may have seen, also may have gone viral. I really didn't spend a ton of time looking at it, but I can imagine there's a video camera, of course, because there's always a camera on you when you're standing on the sidelines, especially if you're a very expensive quarterback, of Dak Prescott. He appears to say, and I'm not a lip reader, but if I can read it, I would think most people can, "We bleeping suck." That's tough. You're at the midway point, and I know you're not playing well, but to get caught on camera saying "we bleeping suck," that's tough. It's a validation. It's tough, and it's a validation of what a lot of people are saying, of course. But you're standing on the sidelines because you've pulled a hammy, and that's what the cameras catch you saying or mouthing or lip reading or whatever it is. You can go and check it out for yourself. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Atlanta goes 3-for-3 in the red zone, really taking advantage of the Dallas mistakes. 100 yards rushing. Bijan Robinson was terrific, and so was Kirk Cousins. You may remember he started slowly this season, and there was even this moment where Raheem Morris was calling on him to be better, to make better decisions. You're a veteran quarterback. You've got to be smarter. And actually, someone asked Raheem about that following the game after Kirk had gone 19 of 24 and after he'd thrown three touchdown passes, including 13 completions in a row. And so I wouldn't say he's walking it back, but I would say he's in a different place with his QB.
He's poised. He's able to get the ball around. He's spread around. He can do all the things that we described when we first met. Going way back to the combine, you know, talking about what we were looking for, we had to go get. I wasn't taking shots at anybody when we said it the first time. I know we took it that way, but realistically, it's having the ability to get a quarterback in hand that can absolutely deal to all of the guys that we have, all the different talent that we have, whether it's Drake, whether it's Kyle Pitts, whether it's Mooney, whether it's Bijan. He's just a playmaker.
I think it starts with Raheem Morris as our head coach, setting the tone each week and allowing guys to feel comfortable to be themselves and to play play with great effort. And then from there, it kind of trickles down to our captains and our locker room.
I think that Kirk takes most of this stuff in stride. Even if it does bother him, he generally takes the high road and is not going to let you know if something gets to him. He's mastered that art of figuring out a way to process privately and publicly to be positive. Again, a terrific game for Kirk Cousins. Not quite a perfect quarterback rating, but not that far off. As for Bijan Robinson, he's awesome. 86 yards on the ground, another 59 yards in the passing game. And that's really what Kirk Cousins wanted to see more of when he got to Atlanta.
You know, when I got here, I want him to be a receiver for us. I want him to show up in the pass game. I want to check the ball down to him. I want to put the ball in his hands. And my background would be with whether it was Chris Thompson in Washington or Dalvin Cook in Minnesota. I see a running back as a running back, and I also see him as a receiver.
I love what we've seen from the Falcons, even though they started out a little bit slowly. Now, the Cowboys, they're in a completely different situation. They're the team that started out with that banner victory against the Browns right after paying Dak Prescott. And, of course, because the Cowboys fan base and those who hate them, so you either love them or hate them, whatever side you're on, this team gets more overreactions than any other team I've ever covered in my lifetime. That's how it is. One of the reasons that they're labeled America's team, whether you love them or hate them, is because they are a lightning rod. People get pissed because I talk about them too much. People think I don't talk about them enough, of course, because, you know, when you're a sports fan, that means you know how to do sports talk radio as well. For the Cowboys, it's three losses in a row. Their longest skid since 2020. And yeah, whether you have Dak Prescott or you don't, there's a lot the team needs to clean up that has nothing to do with who's under center.
Well, I mean, we just really got to keep the focus narrow, and I felt like we were doing that coming into this game. We need to win a game. I mean, you know, I know what everybody wants to talk about, you know, long term. We have five losses, you know, so I clearly understand where that puts us, you know, as far as what it will take. But, you know, we got to get to winning. You know, we're making too many self-inflicted wounds, and the disappointing part about it is, you know, some are, you know, repeated.
It hurts. No need to shortchange it. But that's no excuse for my performance. Quite honestly, I feel like I could have played better overall, and I would be better.
Yeah, that's CD Lamb, subdued CD Lamb, ends up with just a couple of rushes, had eight catches, but was targeted a dozen times, and just not the typical production, not the production that we saw from him last year with Dallas. And I know there's a lot of reasons. Ezekiel Elliott gets benched in this game. So Elliott, I didn't see it. I guess I didn't search that hard, but he gets benched for disciplinary reasons, according to Mike McCarthy. So their run game doesn't have him, and yet still ends up with a fair number of yards, over 100 yards, which is better than we've seen from them most of the time. Dalvin Cook with a couple of carries. Dak himself had one long run that boosted those stats, but Dowdle was really the bell cow in this one with a dozen carries, even though they were having to throw the ball to try to come back. So it's a mess, to be sure. Now, as for Jerry Jones, he always talks about the loss, whether it's a positive or negative, he always talks.
We came in here thinking we could win that ball game. That's a team that we could beat. It's obvious mistakes, those kinds of things. Just any team in the NFL can do you in. This is not a good time. I really regret this for all of our Dallas Cowboy fans.
I know that he does, but is he willing to make changes? Yeah. What kind of faith does he have that the team and the coaches can climb out of this hole?
I've been around. I've seen Michael Irvin tear up and cry when he couldn't lose anybody because he's just recovering from knee surgery. Yet his ass came back and led a team to 3 Super Bowls. I know you can be there if you're there. That room's full of guys that can get it done. I believe in them, coaches and all.
All right. Well, if he believes in him, that's terrific. But when does it start? And it's not going to get any easier with or without Dak Prescott. They've been exposed. Their defense is a disaster. We know this. Still missing major pieces, but that happens to everybody. They've lost to the Lions, the Niners, now the Falcons. Now, I know the Niners are not division leaders, but that's a particular, we'll call it nemesis for the Cowboys, especially in the Bay Area. They got smashed by the Lions, and now they've lost to the Falcons in a game that wasn't super close. It really wasn't most of the time. They sit at 3-5 and third in the NFC East. Not an impossible task, although we'll wait to hear from Dallas about Dak. But they've got the Eagles next, then the Texans, then the Commanders on Thanksgiving. This is a tough next month if they're going to climb out of any type of hole. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.